The Women's World Cup is in its final days in France. The competition began in Paris on June 27th with 24 teams in the mix. It ends this Sunday with the final two teams playing for the big prize in Lyon. One team will be the U.S., having beaten England 2-1, the others being decided today. No spoilers for those who may be taping the game, please. In the months leading up to the tournament, concerns about pay inequities and lack of respect for female athletes have come to a head. Supporters and players alike hope that the current exposure will move governing body FIFA and national soccer organizations to treat male and female athletes more equally. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching the World Cup? Are you new to watching women's soccer, or are you a longtime fan? Do you think that within a sport, athletes should be paid and treated the same, or at least closer to equal than they are? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson was in Paris for a couple matches. She's been following the issues of fairness and equity. Judith, thanks for joining us.
Sure. It's funny to be sitting across as the guest.
On the wrong side of the microphone.
The other side.
You were in Paris, Judith, for the opening match between France and South Korea. Just set the stage, the mood for us at this big event.
Sure. It was at Parc des Princes, which is a large stadium on the western side of Paris. It's where the men's team Paris Saint-Germain plays. 45,000 plus people. It was a sellout crowd. It was a great atmosphere, very festive, very positive. Lots and lots of families, lots of little kids. It felt just very safe and comfortable. I'd say for the adults, it was about mixed half and half men and women. And people were really excited, obviously, to see France play since it was in Paris.
In the run-up to the World Cup and during the tournament, there's been a lot of talk about the big pay difference between women's and men's teams here in the U.S. and around the world. A lawsuit from a lot of the players past and present on the women's team. Can you give us an idea of the kind of scale we're talking about here?
Sure. And I'll try not to throw too many numbers out there, but some are necessary to really get the scope of this. So the 2019 Women's World Cup prize money, so whichever team wins on Sunday, the prize is $30 million. That is 7.5%, so less than 10% of the Men's World Cup prize last year. So the prize money gap between men's and women's championship teams is $34 million. And for instance, the members of the U.S. women's team each earned $90,000 in bonuses for reaching the World Cup quarterfinals. But if they had the same structure that the men do, they would each earn six times that much. So we're talking not a little bit of difference here. We're talking huge gaps.
What are we hearing from women in the game and others looking at these differences?
You know, as you mentioned, the U.S. women have been leading a legal charge against this. In 2016, five U.S. women players filed a discrimination complaint with the Equal Opportunity Commission. And just in March of this year, all 28 members of the U.S. women's national soccer team pool filed a lawsuit for gender discrimination and unequal pay. They have since decided that they will sit down with U.S. Soccer for mediation starting on June 21st they agreed on June 21st to sit down after the World Cup. U.S. Soccer is saying a couple of things. They're saying that there are differences between the men's and women's collective bargaining agreements, and that's part of it. They're also saying that U.S. men's soccer brings in more revenue than the women, so they deserve more pay. But actually, the Wall Street Journal crunched the numbers and found that actually, since 2016, the U.S. women's team have brought in $2 million more than the men. So that doesn't hold a lot of water.
Looking at the Women's World Cup with our own Judith Sears-Poisson. She was there in the early stages of the tournament. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you watching? Have you been watching? Are you a longtime fan of women's soccer? Are you new to the game? Maybe this year. Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. Judith, you talk to people in France, soccer, a big game there, more so per person than here in the United States. You talked with some people on the street in Paris in the first days of the tournament. You talked with a group of sixth graders. How did that come about?
Sure. I was at the Institute of the Arab World, and they had an exhibit on the role of soccer in the Arab world, and there was clearly a sixth grade field trip there. And so I kind of sidled up to them and asked the teacher if I could talk with them. And this is what some of the kids had to say.
On va donner du courage aux filles, mais on peut pas, moi, je préfère les garçons.
So that was a group of boys, sixth grade boys, and they were saying, we're going to be sending our strength and supporting the women. One of them said, I prefer watching the men, and I asked why. And he said, well, we know them better. We can see them on TV. We know their names. We know their careers. They said it's a lot harder because women's soccer isn't publicized as much, but they said it doesn't matter. They're going to be supporting them anyway.
And did you get to talk with other people, maybe some grown-ups, about women's and men's soccer?
I did. So I was in the Luxembourg Gardens, which is a lovely green space in Paris, and I went up to a group of gardeners who were working there and spoke with one of the men.
C'est la médiatisation. Nous, chez nous, c'est médiatisé parce qu'il y a une Coupe du Monde. Mais sinon,
so he was saying that he loves soccer, he watches soccer, he would happily watch women's soccer as much as men's, but he said it's how much media exposure it gets. And he said he was embarrassed to say he didn't know individual players. This is right at the beginning of the tournament. He didn't know individual players because it's just not out there. And he feels that there should be more exposure so that people get to know the women. He said, as far as the play, he thinks they're equally strong and equally interesting.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Logan on the line in Green Bay. Logan, hi.
Hi. So I just want to express my disdain for the treatment of women. And I cannot understand, I cannot comprehend why men earn more.
Logan, worried about the pay gap, Judith, a common refrain we're hearing lately.
Right. And, you know, I think it has been weighing on the women. The motto of the tournament is Le Moment de Briller, or Dare to Shine in English. And, you know, I think hearing some of the interviews with players, seeing what they've shared on social media, they really feel a lot of pressure to make their case by playing really well. And, you know, this is a high pressure thing already. It's sad that they have to kind of take on that extra mantle, I think.
Thanks for that call, Logan. We'll go to Lance now in Superior. Lance, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think, Lance?
Well, I guess my concern is that I believe in equal pay for equal skill, regardless of gender. But right now, I think athletes are all overpaid. I mean, I don't take my kids to baseball games anymore or football games anymore because plainly it's just too expensive. I just wonder what your guest thinks about that.
Lance, thanks a lot for the call. And there's concern for men's soccer worldwide about what people see as a corrupting influence of too much money at all levels of the game.
Right. And that's an interesting point about maybe reducing men's salaries is the answer, because in Norway, that's actually the approach that they took. The men took a pay cut. The men lost just a couple percentage points of their annual salary for playing soccer, whereas it actually doubled the women's. But the Norwegian soccer fans know that one of the greatest women players of the time, she's only 23 and she's already thought to be one of the best players, Ada Hegerberg. She's actually not playing in the World Cup on the Norwegian national team because she said it's not just equal pay. It's that equal exposure. It's that equal respect that we heard from, you know, some of the fans in Paris that, you know, pay is one thing, but it's not everything.
Is there a sense that things might be changing, Judith? We saw numbers today. It looks like the U.S. women's national team home jersey, correct me if I have this wrong, is the all-time best-selling soccer jersey in United States history. Any soccer, men's,
exactly.
Women's, pro.
It's for a season, it's the best seller, the U.S. women's soccer jersey. And I will say, and this was actually a comment on the Twitter feed, it was almost impossible to find them until a couple weeks before. I did every possible Google search. And whenever you put in women's and soccer, it would actually pop up jerseys from last year's men's World Cup in a women's size. So given that it wasn't even that easy to find those jerseys and that it's the bestseller for Nike ever is pretty amazing. I think that I actually spoke to a young 19-year-old woman who was playing a game of pickup soccer with some friends. And she said, you know, we're seeing a big increase in interest right now. She was a little skeptical that it's going to last. But I think definitely women's soccer is on the minds of viewers and spectators and fans in a way it hasn't been before.
As we wrap up, Judith, I mentioned not spoiling today's game for those taping it. I know a certain Central Time executive producer who's been taping daytime weekday
I have
games.
I have been. I am staying in the bubble. I managed to stay in the bubble for the U.S. Game yesterday, and I'm hoping to stay there today.
Judith, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
That's Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson. She was in France for the start of the Women's World Cup and has been following issues of inequities between women's and men's teams, their pay, respect, and coverage.